Is that thing all working good? You're not a professional. You have to make sure you got all your props and everything. So a few weeks ago, a member of our church asked me, what do you think about this passage? I just can't get anywhere with it. Whoever has, to him shall more be given. Let's advance here. Yeah. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, shall be taken away from him. And so I said, well, I'll have a look at that. And I have been looking at that for nearly a month now. I've been thinking about it some driving in the car and sitting at lunch. It comes across my mind and talked about it in two different Bible classes, at a care group, and in maybe four conversations with different people of you guys. And there is a whole lot packed into those two sentences. And we're going to explore them this morning. So I have three different pairs of glasses to look at them through. And the first one would be what I would call the natural or the worldly kind of glasses, okay? I'll put my worldly glasses on. Now all I see is natural worldly things. And so before I say that, I got to give you a disclaimer. We can get rid of the glasses. Here, the disclaimer is I'm not a sociologist. I'm not a statistician. And I'm not a quantum physicist, but that's not what we're talking about anyway. But so I very happily apply or misapply, as the case may be, these principles or of sociology or statistics or quantum mechanics as far as I understand them to the world as far as I perceive it. So that's my disclaimer. So that way you don't have to say, oh, well, it's not like that. Okay, that's fine. Well, there's a thing called a Pareto distribution. And you can look it up, but we would call it the 80-20 rule. Mr. Pareto noticed long ago in Italy that 80% of the land was owned by 20% of the population. And if you have a business, you might know that about 80% of your sales is going to come from about 20% of your clients. And if you have a house or such thing, you might know that the number of good plumbers is far outweighed by the number of terrible plumbers. And we see this kind of imbalance, not just in human behavior, okay, but just the way the cosmos is set up, the size of stars, the height of trees, the size of cities. We see something like that which has gets more. Big stars get bigger because they're more massive and they accrete more mass. Bigger cities are more attractive. They produce more opportunities. They get bigger. Taller trees get more light. So they get bigger. Skillful people get more opportunities. So they get more skillful. Rich people have money. So they have more opportunities to make more money. And it's funny because this thing, if you mess around on the internet a little bit, you'll find it's called the Matthew effect, which is kind of funny. And that's taken after this same idea in Matthew's gospel. So it could have just as easily been called the Luke effect because we find it in the gospel of Luke. And all that I'm saying that the world is like is not to justify anything in particular. And it's not to excuse anything. In particular, it's just observations about how the world is, how the world arranges itself, how people arrange themselves relative to one another. You know, for most of human history, there has been plenty of inequality. Think of all of human history. There has been no shortage of starvation and misery and a tiny little bit of luxury for the tiny set of people who are at the top. And it's only in the past 150 or so years that any of that has changed at all. So I just would say, when I talk about the world like that, that would that sound like the world that Jesus taught in the first century? And I ask that because, you know, as far as we can, don't we need to know how Jesus' words sounded to his hearers? You know, it sounds a certain way to us, But we want to know, you know, how does it sound to his hearers? Would they have felt that same kind of unfairness like you just saw when the kids had an uneven amount of something? Would Jesus' listeners have felt that same thing? I think so. I think it's fair to say so. I think they would have heard it something like we heard it, because the objection is raised in another passage. He already has a lot. So that's the first glasses. And so the second set of glasses is my own experience that I look at this through. And I'm really careful, and I bet y'all are too. I'm very cautious and maybe judgmental when other people start talking about their personal experiences. How about you? So when someone that starts, I'm kind of, well, we'll just see. But this isn't really about me. It's about something I saw. I just happened to be involved in it. How many of us know the date for the day on which we were baptized? I don't. One, two. Not many. A few. He knows the date. It's kind of a good thing to know. And it's a nice anniversary to celebrate. But for me, I'm not sure. But recently, my dad gave me a copy of an old church directory from Oak Ridge North Church of Christ. And look here. George, Sarah, Wilkerson, Jane. You might know her as Jane Cahey or Jane Mayhew. And sometime in October of 1970, and I'm pretty sure about that, Jane Wilkerson and I were juniors at Klein High School. And that's the old Klein High School, because people today would say, which one? Well, there was just one, and we had a graduating class of 100. So we were juniors in October, and she invited me to go to Oak Ridge North Church of Christ for a Wednesday night Bible class, so I went. And that next Sunday, I went back. And the next Wednesday, and the next Sunday, and 49 years later, here I stand. You know, I just couldn't get enough of learning this thing back then in 1970. So after a little while, you know, I learned about baptism, and that happened on a Wednesday night. And according to this little book, it was November of 1970. So that narrows it down to probably about four Sundays. And I'm going to guess it was the second or first Sunday in November. Wednesday. So what does that have to do with the passage? Well, today, when somebody's baptized, typically a lot of us come right up here to the front, and we're right there with them, and we sort of back them up, you know. Well, back then, in 1970, most, and in that place, and lots of places, people did not do that. They sat right in their seat, and they watched it. So if you were up there, you saw people way out there, you know, kind of scary, and maybe they sang a song. And so I remember when it was over, standing, you know, up at the front with a wet head, and a couple of old people came and talked to me. At least I thought they were old. They were probably 40. But some old people talked to me. But a group of people my own age, and I can still picture them, they were holding way back. And it was getting pretty close to time to leave, so the preacher yells out, "Y'all come on up here and greet this young man." Nothing like spontaneity, right? And apart from simple shyness, but you know, everybody's not shy. So why would people hold back? Why would they keep away? And somebody explained to me later, and I think it was Sarah, but I'm not sure. It's been a while. And they said this: when you see the gospel come suddenly, it can be exciting. It can be disturbing. It can be threatening. I felt this way when Marlon Ravel was converted. Were any of y'all here when Marlon was baptized? That man was seriously propelled into the kingdom of God. And we're not in control of it. And so it's awesome when it happens. And I mean awesome in the real sense, not awesome like a hamburger. Because a hamburger's not awesome. I just hate how that word's been cheapened. Because awesome is wonderful, but awesome is scary. And so I remember those guys today that were off He who has a little. I think they had a little. And I think they were seeing, I don't know about a lot, but more than a little. And they were seeing somebody throw themselves in headlong and come up saying, how cool is this? Man, this water's fantastic. I'm so grateful to be a part of it all. And they didn't know how to process that. And their thoughts were more like, not so cool. My parents make me come here. So whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, shall be taken away from him. And I'm pretty sure that I know that those guys, I know two of them, they're without faith today. They're not, they haven't got faith because the little they had went away. So the third pair of glasses to understand this passage with is the best one. It's better than looking at the world around you. It's better than Michael's personal experience. It's Luke's gospel. So this is from the introduction to Luke's gospel. Since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. And we can let Luke explain Jesus' words. Because isn't that what the gospels are? Somebody explaining Jesus' words? That's what they all are. So there's a couple of words in this passage today, and I left them out on purpose. So now we're going to put them up. And it's the one in blue. Because I only gave you part of the sentence. It says, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And to whoever does not have, even what he seems to have shall be taken away from him. And at first glance, I didn't think those words helped any. What? Take care how you listen. What does that mean? How does that add anything to the understanding of this passage? But it does. It's all through Luke's gospel about listening and hearing. And once you see that, oh wow, it explains this. How about this? Next one. It was reported to Jesus. We know this passage. Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wishing to see you. But he answered and said to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Whoever has, to him more shall be given. How about this? Next one. One of the women in the crowd raised her voice and said to Jesus, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, on the contrary, blessed are those who hear the word of God and observe it. Whoever has, to him more shall be given. How about this? A woman named Martha, we know this story, welcomed Jesus into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to do all the serving? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part. I always wondered why it said that. Which shall not be taken away from her. Whoever has, to her shall more be given. Whoever does not have what they seem to have will be taken away. How about this? Jesus said, a nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then returned and he called 10 of his servants and he gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this till I come back. When he returned after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these servants to whom he had given the money be called to him so that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, Lord, your mina has made 10 minas more. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you have been faithful in a very little thing. You are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came, saying, "Your mina, Lord, has made five minas." And he said to him also, "And you are to be over five cities." Another came, saying, "Lord, here's your mina, which I kept put away in a handkerchief. For I was afraid of you, because you are an exacting man. You take up what you did not lay down, and you reap what you did not sow." He said to him, "By your own words, I will judge you, you worthless servant. Did you know that I'm an exacting man, taking up what I did not lay down and reaping what I did not sow? Then why did you not put my money in the bank? And having come, I would have collected it with interest." Then he said to the bystanders, "Take the mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10. And they said to him, "Master, he has 10 already." "I tell you that to everyone who has, more shall be given. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away." And that one is kind of scary. And why is it? If you have a background like mine, if you were taught the Bible like I would, then you might say it like this: God is very strict. Do you ever hear that? God is very strict. So I was afraid, and I didn't want to do whatever. Well, here's the last one. Jesus had told the parable of the sower, and that is what's right in front of our passage for today, in fact. And I won't read the whole parable now for the sake of time, but his disciples asked him what it meant. "What does the parable of the sower mean?" "Now the parable is this," Jesus said. "The seed is the word of God. And those beside the roads are those who have heard, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, takes it away, so that they will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, in time of temptation fall away. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they're choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. Now, therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. But whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, shall be taken away from him." And there is more. There's more about faith. There's more there about shining a light for all to see. It's time to read the Gospel of Luke again. But not right now. So we've talked about how the world is, talked about personal experience, and talked a lot about Luke's gospel. And I want to leave us this morning first with a warning. So here's the warning. Do you have? And is more being given to you? From everybody who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they have entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. So that's the warning for those who have. And the second is a comfort. Do you feel like you have not, or you have a little? And that's what I was thinking about the children, the part I didn't tell them. You could ask for more. You could ask for more gummy bears. If you asked me for more gummy bears right now, I would give them to you. And so, as we had a passage a couple of weeks ago, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Well, God wants us to listen to His Word. He wants us in faith to be baptized into Christ Jesus, His Son. He wants to give us His Spirit to live within us. And Luke's writings are full of these things, both in the Gospel and in the book of Acts. So read them. Listen to them. Do them. Today would be a great day to start, and if you needed any help with that start, ask one of us, and they will get you to the right person.